Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the singles that are here and those who are watching and streaming across the world. Help me to deliver this burden, this baby, this word that you have given me for your singles. And I pray today in the name of Jesus, their hearts are already open, their spirits are open, their minds are open, and their lives are open. Thank you for imparting something that will change their lives for the better. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that no distraction will keep them from receiving this engrafted word that is able to save their soul. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray that everybody say, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you are here this morning and you are in physical pain, I'm going to ask you to stand. Physical pain. If your body is in pain and you can feel it, stand to your feet real quickly. You say, well, what are you going to do, Pastor Eben? Well, I have been mandated by the Lord to pray for people who are in pain every single service. Here's what I want you to understand. It's our responsibility to obey God's word. It's His responsibility to respond to it. In other words, the Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. Who will raise them up? The Lord. It says, lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. So the fact that you stood up shows that you have faith to be healed. Second of all, you cannot in any way earn healing. Okay? And there's nothing you can do other than just stay in faith that God's going to do it. We had some people healed in the first service. I'm expecting God to do the same thing in this service. So, in just a second, I'm going to ask people who are close to you to touch you. And here's why I'm going to ask them to touch you, because it says, if two of us touch and agree on earth as touching anything, we will have it. Well, we know it's God's will to heal. So, in just a second, now when you touch them, I want you to touch them in an appropriate place. Okay, then I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. And then after that, and you sit down, I'm going to ask you, when your pain is gone, not gone by faith, I'm talking about your pain is physically gone, I want you to stand up just like you're doing right now, and I want you to wave at me. In fact, I want you to practice right now. Just wave at me. See, that's going to let me know that God healed you. It's going to let us know that God still heals, and we're going to celebrate with you, okay? Now, don't sit in your seat and wave at me, because I'm going to think you're waving at me, and I'm going to wave back. You need to stand up. Everybody say, stand up. All right, so touch somebody close to you. Let's pray right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you because you are a God that honors your word. You said you watch over your word to perform it. And so your word tells us where two of us touch and agree on earth, as touching anything, we can have it. And Father, we're touching and agreeing for our brother or sister to be healed in the name of Jesus. You said that all we have to do is pray the prayer of faith and the Lord would raise them up. So, Lord, we pray the prayer of faith right now. And faith says that by the stripes that Jesus took, they are healed. You said, speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed and be cast into the sea. And as long as we don't doubt in our heart, but believe that those things which we pray shall come to pass, we shall have what we say. Therefore, Father, I speak to the pain in their bodies right now in Jesus' name. And I say, pain, you go in Jesus' name. You cannot stay. You cannot interrupt this believer's body. And Lord, we declare that they are whole and they are healed and they are free from pain from the top of their head all the way down to the soles of their feet. Holy Spirit, thank you for being the healing agent in the earth. Sweep through this room and sweep through everybody, those who are here and even those who are watching. It's in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Now give the Lord a hand clap for your healing. You may be seated. So every year we use the month of September to focus on relationships. Everybody say relationships. And so what that means is for the whole month of September, we divide our church by relationship status. This is the first year we're doing it with three services because we started three services back in January. So our 8:30 service, which we just had, is for legally and biblically married couples. So if you're shacking, shacking don't count. Amen. Our 10:30 service, which is this one, and our 12:30 service after this one, is designed to minister for those who are single. If you're single in the house, wave at me. If single's in the house, wave at me. All right, good. Looks like you're in the right room. So if you are here in the room and you're married, which means you probably didn't know, then what you can do is sit through the service and thank God you're not single no more, and then go back home and watch the 8:30 service. Now, one of the reasons I do this is because most of the time, singles do not go to counseling. You say, well, is counseling good? Counseling is good, but this allows me to give singles counseling right over the pulpit. It helps me give them a checkup from the heart up. Say amen to that. So we're in a series entitled, Here Comes the Bride. So last week, our message title was, Are You Oil Ready? So I just want you to look at one of the people next to you and ask them, are you oil ready? Now, our topic today, the topic that I'm going to give you was not my original topic. The original topic would have stunned some people. Yes, it would have. It would have triggered some people. And it probably would have got censored on the internet, and they probably would have shut it down. So the only reason I didn't name it that is because of that, but I wanted to. So I came up with an alternative subject, and I just want you to know that I am going to talk about this with passion because I have a burden for what I'm going to talk to you all about. And so today's topic is dated and violated. Dated and violated. How many know what I mean by that? Let me see your hand. How many don't know what I mean by that? Raise your hand. How many don't want to participate? Raise your hand. Dated and violated. Another way I could say that is date grape. Y'all got that? Because they ain't censoring me out today because this is the word I want to give you. So listen, when somebody is violated during a dating event, it can leave a negative, long-lasting impact in their life, sometimes for years. And I'm convinced that dating out of season does more harm than good. All it takes is the wrong person to derail you from your spiritual journey and from your passion for the Lord. I love Galatians chapter 5 because it's a personal verse that God gave me while I was going through my single season years ago. It reads this way in the King James Version. You, touch your neighbor, say he's talking to you. You did run well, my sister. You were running well, my brother. Watch what he says. Who, everybody say who. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. Listen to the New Living Translation. You, touch another neighbor and say he's talking to you. He says you were running your race so well. You were focused. You kept your drawers on. You were running so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? Verse 8, it certainly isn't God, for he's the one who called you to freedom. So one of the best ways to slow down or to stop altogether a single person's spiritual momentum, everybody say spiritual momentum, is to introduce the wrong person into their life or space. So church, listen to me and listen to me with an open heart. My goal today is to help you see that dating out of season takes more from you than what it adds to you. So our first point is this. Out of season dating strips you, not equips you. I'm going to say that again. Out of season dating strips you, not equips you. And I'm going to say some very hard, challenging, difficult things, but I promise you, if you will grasp what I'm telling you today, it's going to help you, watch this, maintain spiritual momentum for God to bring the right person into your life. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 in the New Living Translation. It says, for everything, everybody say everything. Everything. For everything, that includes dating, do you agree? Yes. I mean, everything is everything. He says, for everything, there is a what? Season. There is a season, and then there is a time for every activity under heaven. Listen to now the Voice Translation. For everything, everybody say everything. Does that include dating? Everything that happens in life, there is a season, a right time for everything under heaven. So, church, if there is a season for everything in life, if there's a right timing for everything in life, then there must be a right time and a right season to date as a single person. Can I get an amen from at least 100 of y'all? Amen. And I'm convinced, look at your neighbor and say, he's convinced. I am convinced that if a single Christian dates out of season, it will take more from them than what they anticipate. So here's a hard take-home statement. Here we go, right here. If you date out of season, you are committing spiritual treason. I'm going to say that again. If you date out of season, you are committing spiritual treason. You may say, well, what is treason? Treason is committing acts of disloyalty or betrayal against the nation to which a person owes its allegiance. See, in the United States of America, if you commit treason, they will lock you up. Because what you're doing is you're violating the trust and the laws of your own country and you're giving it away to some type of illegal activity. So what Christians, single Christians don't understand is when you date out of season, it's a way of committing spiritual treason. So listen, from a spiritual kingdom standpoint, you are not your own. Amen. And that's the problem. You still think you can run your life. Let me ask you a question. Do your kids belong to you? How many got kids? Do they belong to you? Do you expect them to do what you tell? I'm talking about of age now, not the big ones. Not about the little ones now. Do you expect them to do what you tell them to do? Yeah. Amen. Well, you are not your own. You are now a kingdom citizen. And your spiritual passport has been issued by heaven. And although you are in this world, you are no longer of this world. And because you're in it, but you're not of it, God is expecting you to function like a kingdom citizen. You belong to Christ, so that means whatever you do and whoever you do it with
should be approved by heaven and please the king.
Thank you for that one clap right over here to my right. Colossians 3, 22 and 3, we read this last week. It says, set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead. You are what, church? Look at your neighbor and say, you are dead. He says, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Listen to the Amplified. Set your mind and keep focus habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. For you have died to this world and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. So you may be saying, well, Pastor, are you saying we shouldn't date? Absolutely not. I'm not saying that. But what I want you to do with the message today, I want you to grasp it with your spirit and not wrestle with it with your carnal mind. Listen, because when you date out of season, it can strip you and not equip you. It can take your oil. And unfortunately, in some dating situations, some people are slipped drugs that are designed to alter their minds, and sometimes they end up violated because of that. But I've discovered, ask your neighbor and say, what has he discovered? Go on and ask him. I've discovered that there are some spiritual drugs that the enemy gives a spiritual Christian person who's single to influence them to prematurely date or to date out of season. So just look at your neighbor one more time and say, I didn't know you was on drugs. No, because some of you are taking these drugs that I'm about to name. So what are some of these drugs that the enemy has slipped some of y'all that is causing you to date out of season? Because at the end, and I'm going to tell you now so you can wrestle with it. So by the end, no, I'm not going to tell you because the altar call is going to be one that's strong. So what are some of these premature drugs? Well, the first one is loneliness. What a drug. This is an emotional state of feeling where you're isolated, you're unseen, you feel unloved. And so what happens when the enemy slips that drug called isolation or loneliness on you and you drink of it? You're in a relationship that you shouldn't be in. Here's another premature dating drug, peer pressure. And this is when we allow the influence, the opinions or concerns of other people impact the decision you make. See, you don't want to hear your girlfriend say no more, well, who you dating? So you just, you in a relationship just because you want to be able to say, oh, you know, we've been dating for 5 days. Peer pressure. Here's another drug. This was a big one right here, boy. This is similar to crack. How many been on crack before? Let me see you. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. And crack, boy, that crack is it's real, right? You hit it one time and it's like, ooh. This one right here is similar to crack. This drug is called impatience. And this is when we can't wait for God to do something, so we take the matters in our own hands. God's taking too long, so I'm just going to get on the internet and I'm going to log in to ineedaman.com or woman.com. Now this drug right here, this is a silent drug. It's just like, blood pressure, they call it the silent killer. Because you cannot know you got it and you got it. And so this is one of these silent killers. It's called lust. Now, I know you know what that is. But just in case you don't know, this is when you are burning for intimacy. And so you temporarily satisfy it, not realizing that you're potentially receiving a permanent soul tie.
Let me tell you something, church. Marriage doesn't cure lust. It doesn't cure lust. It doesn't. And that's why people end up cheating. Because what their spouse gives them is not enough, because lust is never cured with love. And here it is now, you don't have no peace because you done gave them a peace.
I feel it over here, right over here. Right over here. Right over here. Here's the next one. I need to hurry up. Here's the next one. The next drug is insecurity and low self-esteem. Now, this is a bad one right here, because this one impacts you whether you're in a relationship or not. This is when you don't feel good about yourself and you need other people to help you feel good about you. Listen to Psalm 139:13 in the Amplified. Listen to what the psalmist says. I love this. He says about God. He says, God, you have formed my innermost parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. That means that's the physical part of me. And he says, God, I will give you thanks and I will give you praise because I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. We can stop there, because if you can't appreciate the physical you, how can you expect somebody else to? I don't look like I want to look. It don't matter. If God created you in your mother's womb, how he created you is beautiful to him. Verse 14 says, I'll give you thanks and praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Watch what it says. He says, wonderful are your works. And watch this, church. My soul knows that very well. And see, your soul needs to know what has already been downloaded in your spirit. Your soul is the part of you that needs to know you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your soul is the part of you that knows that you are beautiful on the inside out, or handsome on the inside out. That's the soul. Your spirit already know that. But it's the soul part of you that you need to get together. And that's the problem. A lot of Christians date out of season and they don't even like them. Did you hear what I said? Here's the last one. This one's real right here. The drug of boredom or lack of focus. You just bored. You just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and applying. Distraction is easily achieved when there is no focus. So here's the question. How does a single person better manage the seasons of dating in their life? And you don't want to miss next week's message, because next week's message, here's the title right up front. Next week's message, let me scroll down. It is attracting the right one. It's not next week, it's the week after next. Okay, all right. So how does a single person prepare themselves or be ready in this dating environment? Which brings us to point number two, and that is, Your spiritual taste buds should dictate your dating taste. I'm going to say that again. Your spiritual taste buds should dictate your dating taste. Now, I have a question that I want you to respond by raising your hand. Have you ever had a piece of fruit that wasn't ripe or wasn't in season? Have you ever done that? How did it taste? Didn't taste that good. Listen, it may have looked good, and it may have felt good, and that it might even smell good. I'm talking about fruit now. I'm talking about fruit. It might have looked good, it might have felt good, it might have smelled good, but it didn't taste good because you discovered it was not ripe. And I believe that's how dating out of season is. It might feel good, but it ain't good. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go as far as saying, in a lot of cases when people date out of season,
They meet people they never should have met. They did stuff they never should have did. They spend money that they can't get back. And watch this. Sometimes they possibly leave with things they can't give back. So here's the problem for a lot of you in this room. So just look at somebody different and say, I know he's talking to you today. Some of you have a very poor dating palate. In other words, the season you are picking to date and the type of people you are picking have consistently proven to be bad. And these weren't bad people, they just weren't good for you. And see, some of y'all, here's the problem, here's the lie, here's the deceit. Some of you are thinking, I just need to change the type of person that I'm picking. When in reality, you need to change your palate. Here's a take-home statement. Maybe the way you are picking is the reason why they are not sticking. I'm going to say that again. Maybe the way you are picking is the reason why they're not sticking. Here's a take-home thought. Everybody say, You can't stop from picking what's outside of you until you change what's on the inside of you. You only picking them on the outside because of the condition that you have on the inside. Tell your neighbor, change your palate, change your palate, change your palate. See, some of you all are used to fast food dating, full of calories, no nutritional value, bad for your health. Listen to Psalm 34 verse 8 in the Amplified, because here's what you have to do. Everybody say, change your palate. The scripture says, oh, taste and see that our God is good. How blessed and fortunate and prosperous and favored by God is the person who takes refuge in him. Some of you have not tasted enough of God's goodness for it to change your palate. See, here's the deal. Once you've tasted enough of God's goodness and enough of his presence, the dating streets won't taste the same. And here's the thing, it takes a while to change your palate. You don't change your palate overnight. And see, some of you need to go on a dating fast because your fast will help change your palate. Now see, recently, everybody say years ago. Years ago, I can't even tell you how many years ago it was, but it was quite a few years ago, I decided to not eat junk food. It's quiet in here, ain't it? So I'm talking about like burgers and hot dogs and corny dogs and all of that, right? And so I hadn't had a hot dog, and my wife, she'll tell you this, I hadn't had a hot dog in years. I mean years. And see, here's the thing, I have another problem, because one of my joys in life is to watch people on the internet eat food. I don't know why I like that. I mean, you go on Instagram, how many see those people? They just sit there and eat. And then, I'd be like, ooh, I wish I had that plate. I mean, they just eat now because they be taking big bites too. I'm just sitting there and I watch the whole thing too. I don't know why I enjoy watching me. So I guess this desire for a chili cheese dog got in my spirit. So I decided on Tuesday night to go by Sonic and get me a chili cheese cone dog, hot dog, right? They put that mustard in the ketchup, because this is how I used to do it. That mustard in the ketchup and the relish. And, oh, my God. And I'm there with some French fries and a Coke. And so I get in the car,
I figured I'd eat it on the way home. I tasted it, and it didn't taste good. I was like, well, maybe I missed that. Let me do like they do on when I'm watching people. Let me get a second bite. Took another second bite. Man, I don't know if they've changed weenies since I had them last. But this weenie tastes like a Vienna sausage. The texture was terrible. It didn't taste good. Tell your neighbor to change your palate, change your palate. Church, let me tell you something. I had been off of hot dogs and hamburgers and corny dogs for so long that my palate had changed. I no longer wanted what used to be good. And now, because my palate changed, what used to taste good to me don't taste good no more. And I believe dating out of season gives you a poor palate. It might feel good, but it ain't gonna be good. So here's the question: how does a person know if they're ready to date? How do you know if you're in the right season? I'm so glad you asked me, because that brings us to our final point, and that is, you are ready when God says you're ready. So I know what some of y'all are thinking. Pastor, how do I know when God says I'm ready? That's the whole point. The fact that you don't know him enough for him to tell you shows that you need to be single and pursuing him until you know his voice enough for him to tell you. You should have a relationship with God for him to tell you. But until you get to that point, let me give you some guidance. So here, I'm getting ready to list now some clues. Everybody say clues. Clues to being ready, or clues to being date ready. Now, let me back up. So when I became single the second time, I was 75%. Y'all already know the story. I was 75% not going to get married, 25% whatever the Lord wants. And I told the Lord that. Because the Bible says it's a choice to be single or not. I was like, I'm good. I'm almost 60 at the time. I was like, hey, I'm good. I'm going to ride this out. I can handle it. And God starts sending problems my way. I got stalked by people who worked at Starbucks. Yep. They would show up at the church, bringing the staff coffee. But they really bringing it to me. I just want you to know that. Staff calling, Pastor, don't come. They stay up here today. I turn around. Aah! Look, I have experienced fatal attraction, the church edition. There's a church edition of fatal attraction. I want you to know that. I'm talking about I had to get the police involved. God started sending these problems to me. And I'm not liking the problems. I mean, I was at a point where I couldn't even hug people, because I'm a hugger too, you, me and First Lady. And some people, they wanted to hug a little bit too longer than I wanted to hug them. I'm like, Houston, we got a problem. And the Lord saying, do you still want to stay single? Because this is what your life going to look like. So he had to bring someone special into my life. But I stayed ready. So what are some clues to being date ready? Because see, some of y'all ain't ready. You think you're ready. So here's some clues. Here's the first one. You must trust God with this part of your life, or you will always lean to your own way. You got to trust God with your single life. Trust him.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the Amplified says, trust in and rely confidently in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all of your ways, your dating ways, know and acknowledge him and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that may block your way. Here's number two. Here's a should I be dating season clue. You must die to your will so that you can receive his. I'm going to say that again. You must die to your will so that you can receive his will. John 12, 24 says, verily, verily, Jesus says, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and what? Die. It abides alone. See, until your will dies, it stays right where it is. But if it dies, it brings forth fruit. Watch this. And he who loves his life will lose it. But he that hates his life in this world shall keep it. What am I saying? I'm saying die to what you want so you can receive what God wants. Here's number three. Oh, this was good right here. Have you, how many been married before? Let me see your hand. Okay, all right. That's half the room. Put your hand down. How many has been in a relationship before? Let me see your hand. All right, good. Put your hand down. If you didn't raise your hand, you lying on one of them. Watch this. Here's number three. This is hard. Have you divorced or denounced any vows made from previous relationships, especially if you were previously married? See, if you got married, you stood before somebody and you said, vows. I will do this and I will do that. The problem is, just because you went to court and got a divorce doesn't mean you divorced yourself from the vows you made. Are you all with me? So some of you who were previously married, the reason why God can't bring nobody, watch this, into your life, because you are still spiritually tied to the person you were married to. Because you ain't released those vows. You got to let them go. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, say, Father, I remove myself from every vow I made in the name of Jesus. Remove, Father, any vow that I made or committed to so-and-so and to so-and-so and to so-and-so and to, you know. Here's number five. Here's a question. Are you currently on one of those spiritual drugs that the enemy is giving you? The drugs that we named? If you're on that, you need to fix that, because it's only going to help your future relationship. Here's number six. If you meet someone, we're talking about trying to be date ready. If you meet someone that you think can be a potential, ask God, should you get involved from the jump? Don't get involved and then be like, Lord, is they the one? No, right. We say, well, see, here's corner mine. Well, Pastor, you can't know unless you start talking to the person and figure it out. No. God can talk to you. See, let me tell you how God works, okay? You got red light. How many growing up you played red light, green light? You old, that's why. But anyway, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a game. Red light, see, so somebody, you know, is like the call out person. And so, you know, there's a base, you know, or everybody trying to get to. And so everybody's, and so you try to get to that. And so the person that's up there say, red light, and you got to stop moving. Green light, you can go. Well, with God, you got a red light. You got a green light, but you got a yellow light. Proceed with caution. See, some of y'all, before you have a phone conversation, you need to have a prayer conversation. Here's number seven, very quickly. Did you get an answer from God when you prayed and asked him, or did you take silence as a yes? Here's number eight. Involve someone, this is going to be in my next lesson. It is so good. Involve someone who loves you and who is spiritually mature enough for you to be accountable to. So how do you get out of an unseasoned relationship? Here's the first one. Pray and repent. In other words, ask God to forgive you, because if you got in and you weren't supposed to, you need to say, well, Lord, you know what? I didn't manage that right. Number two, ask for wisdom on what to do and what to say to get out of it. James 1:5 says, if any person lack wisdom. Number three, be honest with the person when you talk to them, but be gentle. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. Be clear about what you're gonna, you know, that you're ending the relationship. They can't get off the phone and be guessing what you call for. You need to talk. Now, it's best to do it in person if it's safe. If it ain't safe, you can't do it in the face. You can FaceTime, though. And don't use vague excuses like, No. Just say, you know what? I don't have peace about this. I'm just trying to obey God and focus on my relationship with God. Here's number four. Do it face to face, like I said. Number five, set some boundaries immediately. There's no more relationship with privileges. Amen. I was talking to a member, and I told him, I said, you need to change that person's name in your phone. I said, what do you mean, Pastor? So that way, when they call, and I told him, I said, put this as their name. You are not the one. I said, so every time they call you or text you, not the one. Some of y'all need to change some names in your phone to not the one. Then the last one, don't blame and shame. Take responsibility for it. Number seven, keep it private as much as possible. I know in a dating, in church, people might date and all that, and it might be hard to explain why you don't sit with so-and-so no more or whatever the case is. In that case, you just explain, but you ain't got to go into detail. All you have to do is say, you know what, we're just not together anymore. Praise the Lord. Be praying for him and me. Amen. That's how you do it. And then be respectful towards that person's reputation. Don't be trying to trash them. Because let me tell you something. If you trash an ex, that means you are a trash can. I know that wasn't spiritual. I'm going to say it again, though. If you are trash, I feel trash. If you are trashing your ex, you are a trash can. Unless you trash with them. Which one you want to be, the can or the trash? Which one? So how do we apply today? You're going to have to surrender your dating desires to God. Number two, never rush something that is designed to end with permanence. I'm going to say that again. Never rush something that is designed to end with permanence. Here's number three. Create an accountability system to help you discern what God is saying and help you discern your season of dating. So here's the altar call. It's a hard one. There are some people that are in some out of season relationships. You know you're not supposed to be with that person. You know. And you've been trying to figure out, Lord, how do I get out of this? You stuck. You chained. You locked down. But the altar call today is for people who are ready to get out. You know that movie, Get Out? Do y'all know what movie I'm talking about? How many know the movie I'm talking about? So just look at somebody and tell them, get out, get out, get out. And this is hard. I know it's hard. And I was like, Lord, I don't know if I want to be doing altar calls for people who need to get out of a relationship because they might be here with the person. He's like, don't worry about that. You just do what I want you to do. So I need you to be patient and sit right there in your seat and be praying for some people. Because I'm going to be bold today. Because they're... Every head bow. We gonna go the Catholic route. Bow your head. There are some people that are watching me, and there are some people definitely in this room. You have had red flag after red. That flag so red, the blood of Jesus is dripping from it. You have had red flag after red flag. You know you're not supposed to be in it, but you don't know how to get out. Your first step is to be honest But your second step, you must commit that thing to the Lord. And so I'm challenging you today. If you're in this room and you're in a relationship that you need to get out of, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just need you to raise your hand right there to see. Say, Pastor Evan, that's me. I'm in one and I need to get out. I don't know how to get out, but I need to get out. And keep your hand up real high, real high. And then there's some. So here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to ask you to come down here to the altar, because me seeing you is enough. God sees you, you see you, I see you, and the devil sees you. That's enough right there. So raise your hand right there to see, right? Because I'm going to pray over you in just a second. I'm going to pray from up here. Now, those of you who have your hands up, put both of them up, because that's a sign of surrender. I see you all over the room. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see every hand that is up. You know what they are in, and you know how to get them out. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, with them, they repent. Just repent right there where you are. Say, Lord, forgive me for getting in this, and I need your help to get me out. Just say that right there. Just say that right there on the inside. And, Lord, every person who said that prayer and they meant it, I thank you for creating a way that, and I pray that they will have the boldness of God. And I thank you for giving them the words to say. And I thank you for them doing it quickly. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You can put your hands down. Maybe there's some people here. My question, if you die today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Because if you're not, I want to pray for you. There are some people here today that need to rededicate or recommit their single life to the Lord. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. And then there's some people who may need to be baptized, or if you are visiting and have been what I'm going to call a visiting member, you've been here coming so long as a visitor, we think you are a member. But maybe it's time for you to change from being a member or a visiting member over to a real member. And so if you'd like to make Word of Truth your church home, I want to include you in those four commitments. The first commitment is, I need salvation.